It's my understanding that that song was written by a brother that had left his wife. Some of you may know the story better. Adam Baer there, I think, had left his wife and went into the world to live for himself. And sometime later, came to his sanity, and turned around, and he repented and started serving the Lord. Came back to his local. I don't know if he ever came back to his wife, if they ever got back together, but came back to the community there, and was greatly burdened about the plight that he saw the church in. And I pray that each one of us could carry that same burden on our heart for the church today, for the body of Christ, the people of God, that we could be a salt and a light in our land. Well, welcome to the Raymers back there today. It's good to see you with us today. And also you, Brother Paul. I think May of 2001 is when we started meeting here at Ephrata. So that's 9 years ago since we fellowshiped together, Paul. And it's a blessing to see you still serving the Lord, and trust that we can be an encouragement here this morning to everyone to be faithful till Jesus comes. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we bend our knee to you this morning, just like that leper that fell on his face before you to worship you and give you thanks. We at least fall upon our knees this morning in thanksgiving to our great God. We recognize that without you, we are nothing. So we give you thanks this morning, Father, for the shed blood of Jesus, for the forgiveness of our sin, for writing our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you this morning for your word, your precious eternal word. We stake our lives upon it this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ here this morning, for brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, we bind our hearts together to worship you, to serve you, to stand together and march forward, march onward, march upward in the fight for what is right, in the fight against evil, in the fight to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Lord, we ask you to anoint our lips this morning. Help me to make the Word of God clear and understandable this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Last Sunday, the message was directed to the youth. And I guess this scripture is directed to a young man, although I am not necessarily singling out the youth here today. But you young people, sit up and take notice to the word of the Lord to a youth. Paul said, here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. This is the scripture that I'd like to expound on this morning. We just went through this in our family devotions. I was inspired by it, and I also think the thing that caught my attention here the most was I asked one of my boys one morning if he could tell me what it meant when it says, let no man despise thy youth. And he gave me a thought that I really hadn't thought of before. And it really opened up an avenue of meditation in my heart there. That I pondered it a lot. In my mind, I was thinking that a young man should just rise up and not be ashamed that he's a young man, but be a godly young man and live a godly life, which it is that. But he said, and it just somehow just did something to my heart in the way he explained it there, to live in such a way that no man despises you. And it just turned something around in my mind. And I realized, yeah, well, that makes sense. That is, I think, closer to what it's saying, because he says, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It doesn't leave much out, does it? It covers all of life. So, I guess I would first of all like to just say that in this idea of being an example, it says loud and clear, I think you can say, that we are not an island here unto ourselves. What we do does affect someone else. very much so in our local body, but even very much so in the community, in the society that we live. I think it's very important for us to be reminded of this, that as we go through life, that we're not just me, myself, and I, but we're me and my brother, me and my neighbor, me and my family. Sorry for my poor English there. But we are an example. Now, we can be an example to evil, and we can be an example to good. And Paul admonishes Timothy here to be an example of the believers. And the believers are those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have had their sins forgiven, who have been living a life that is upright, that have been walking in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, the Lord Jesus. They've been living their lives to the glory of God. And Paul is saying, I want you to be an example of those kind of people. An example in word. Now, I don't know who comes to your mind when you think of an example in word, but I'm going to give an example for each one of these from someone in the Scripture. Now, there's others that it could be, and you could think of some in your own life, I'm sure, that have been an example to you in each one of these areas. But for word, I'd like to lift up the Lord Jesus this morning as an example to us of someone who walked as a man here in this life and was an example in word. It says in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, the end of the chapter there, when he was done teaching the Sermon on the Mount, it says, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And it says in Luke chapter 2 there, this was alluded to here this morning. Is it in Luke 2? Yeah, in Luke 2 verse 45, when his parents found him, when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So, astonishment that they had was one of awe, that this man had such a sanctified word for them, such an anointed word for them, such a word of authority that they never heard before. And the admonition here is that we be an example to the believers in word, in conversation. That's our conduct of life. Now, I thought of asking you for someone that would, in each of these, of who you think of, But it's probably not fair to do that because there are many, and we can't really go over many, but I want to lift up someone from the scriptures here. And the one I have here for conversation, for our everyday conduct, was Daniel. Daniel had purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself. And later on, when out of jealousy, some men banded together to try to find fault with him, the only thing they could come up with was that he prayed to a different God. He served a different God than what they did. And as they observed his walk of life, they found it to be without spot, without blame. And truly, he had, and this was years later, after the purposing in his heart that he wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat there, that carried over into his everyday conduct. He conducted himself as an example to the kingdom there that he found himself in. And again, we're exhorted here to be an example of the believers in our conduct. Okay, in charity. For charity, I have Timothy. One of the boys gave this to me this morning. Timothy, I feel, was a good example in charity to the Apostle Paul by how he served him and through many hardships, through many trials, he stuck with Paul. And he could rely upon him in times whenever whenever he needed to send someone to minister to the brethren, he would send Timothy. There to the Thessalonians, he sent Timothy when he could no longer bear to not know what their state was. He sent Timothy. And it says in 1 Corinthians 13 that charity suffereth long and is kind. And I believe Timothy was a good example of a young man who suffered long there with the Apostle Paul. Okay, in spirit, we have Job, not as a young man necessarily, but Job said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I like to look at this one in spirit here as having to do with our attitude. And I believe that Job was a beautiful example to us in his attitude. That when adversity came into his life, he wasn't pouting. He wasn't in the dumps about it. He wasn't unbelieving about it. He was seemingly up on top of the mountain with it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even though he was in a time of great tribulation. Okay, in faith. An example in faith that I have here is David. He, against all odds, against his brothers trying to hold him back, went out there and slew that giant simply because of his faith in his God. And in purity, I have Joseph, who in the time of opportunity, in the time of great temptation, he chose rather to remain pure than to defile himself. There, when he fled from Potiphar's wife, well, how do we make this practical in our life? How are you and I going to be examples to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity? I mentioned that we're not here as islands to ourselves, and our lives do very much affect the lives of others around us. And I have been pondering this word association for a while. It's been a burden on my heart. The dictionary says that associate means to join in company as a friend, companion, partner, or confederate. It conveys the idea of intimate union. It also says that it's joined in interest or purpose. Now, I give this word because this is what I think of when I think of examples. I think of how we can be an example in right ways, and we can also be an example in wrong ways. And it has a lot to do with who and what we associate with, what we join ourselves with, what we become intimately involved with, or what we set our sights on and follow after. It's possible for us, I believe, to be a bad example by association and still have the intention of doing that which is right. One of the burdens on my heart is our association with music. Now, it was probably 11 or 12 years ago at one of our Bible schools, one of the young men brought around this music group called Hallel. And I'm not here to judge them as evil per se, but I believe their association is a very different association than what ours is. They believe very differently than we do. Many of their songs are very questionable. Some of them may be okay. And the burden on my heart with it, with Hillel, is that ever since that time, I hear their songs sung in our midst a lot. There's not very many weddings in the last 10 years that I've attended that we haven't sang Hillel songs. And by association, we're joining ourselves with Hillel. And while maybe 100 years from now, it will be fine to sing some of their songs in our midst, I've become increasingly uncomfortable with associating myself with them, knowing a little bit who they are and what they stand for. I don't think we are being a good example of the believers when we associate with groups that we have big question marks about. It's also been my observation that in many situations, we have associated with the world, with the with the fashions of the world, with our dress. And instead of lining ourselves up with Paul's admonition here to Timothy to be an example and to have a higher standard than the world, we many times will copy patterns that we see and like, or with the men, will many times start wearing clothing that have an association with that which is evil, which came of evil, and I don't think we should associate ourselves with it. I don't believe we should wear t-shirts in public. I think its association is with that that is immoral. It's if you have any questions about those things, you should study where it comes from. It's considered underwear. And when we start dressing in that way, we associate ourselves with that which is evil, even though we may have right desires. We're joining ourselves with that which is evil. The reason we don't like when one of our or wouldn't appreciate one of our young men to go out and buy themselves a motorcycle is because of the lifestyle and the rebellion that is associated with with what most of our society is about with the motorcycles. There's hardly a way to redeem it because of what its association is here in our land. Now, if you go into some other lands, it's very different. Its association is very different. But we're called to be an example. That means we lift up a higher standard. That means we pattern our life after Christ. That means we pattern our life after the godly men who have gone on before, and not by those in our society that got their convictions from Hollywood and that have demoralized themselves to alley cats. But be thou an example of the believers in word. How easy is it for you to start using street language? Hey, that's cool, dude. Those things shouldn't be mentioned among us. In conversation, the way that we conduct ourselves in life, the way we do business, are we above board? In our everyday contact with people, in charity, suffering long. It suffers long and it's kind. How did we do this week? Was our fuse short? In spirit, did we have a bad attitude towards those who crossed our path this week? That asked something of us that we didn't appreciate or didn't want to do what they said or can we, like Job, say, no matter what came our way this week, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's humility. We heard about humility in the opening this morning. That's humility that can say that. When we don't get our own way, but can say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's an attitude of submission. In faith, are you confident this morning? Are you firm on the rock? Are you remaining pure in your thoughts, in your attitudes, in your actions? Well, I'd like to move on here to verse 13. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading. That means you make it happen. Make it a priority in your life. Now, I don't know what all the Apostle Paul means here in reading, but I would say, in reference to reading books, I think you can tell whether they're good or bad in how much they make you relish the Word of God? Does it inspire your heart towards God, towards the Word of God? Or does it diminish your love for the Word of God? And I think that would be a good criteria for you to start with in your book reading. It should be enlightening, as is the Word of God. It should be truthful, as is the Word of God. And it should be suggestive, as is the Word of God, meaning it should involve much more than it expresses. And isn't that just what the Word of God does? You have to dig and dig and dig. And you'll never mine everything that's there. There's so much more there than it expresses. Just in one little sermon there that Jesus preached, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you could spend the rest of your life trying to digest it and get to the bottom of what Jesus said there and in applying it to your life. I think it's important that you read with discrimination. The world is full of books. And for certain, make it a priority in your reading to be reading the Word of God. Weaving everything else that you read through the Word of God. I think you should read with attention, not just to be amused. Don't just read to pass time. Don't just use it to fritter time away, as Brother David said in his message last Sunday. Don't just pass time away. Fill your time with attentive reading. Read with reflection. Read with meditation. Ponder what you're reading. Don't just flippantly read it to say you read it. Don't just read it to fill your mind with knowledge. You'll become puffed up. But read with confidence and try to understand what is being said, and with the intent that I'm going to master this in my life. I'm not just going to read this to get information and to say that I've read it. I'm not just going to read through my Bible this month or this year to say I read through the Bible this year. But if you will read, if you will give attendance to reading and read with reflection, read meditatively, you will find yourself a gold mine. You'll find yourself a wealth of inspiration that will inspire you to be an example to the believers. Read with humility. Read with the understanding that not that now I've acquired this knowledge, but rather, wow, there's so much I don't know and understand. And I believe if you read with humility, the more you read, the more you give attendance to reading, the more you fill your life with reading and acquiring knowledge, if it's done in humility, it will cause a faith in God, a confidence in God, rather than a pride and self-reliance in on myself. Have for improvement, not for show, but rather to establish yourself in virtue, to grow in your understanding of what God's desire is for your life. Amen. You can read and become full of knowledge and be puffed up about it. But you can also read and come to a greater understanding of what God's requirement is in your life, and it bring you to a greater place of humility and establish your heart in virtue that we're talking about here this morning. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. You will give yourself to something. And young man and young lady, I assure you here this morning that you won't just be neutral in life. You will pursue after something in life. You will have a passion for something. You will pursue things in your life. And Paul is admonishing us here. Pursue after this. Pursue after being an example to the believers. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. And then you'll find that you're not just an island to yourself. We're told here that your profiting may appear to all. If you give yourself to this, if this becomes the passion of your life, that I want to be an example, rather than looking around and saying, well, this person professes to be a Christian and he does this, so I guess it's okay. We should rather be saying, how can I be an example to the believers today in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity? You know, it can be a blow to us, especially as a young person, if someone that you looked up to did something that you thought was less than being an example. And it can be discouraging to you. But make this the passion of your life. That I want to, rather than to see what everyone else is doing and become part of the status quo, I want to live my life as an example in these godly virtues. And your profiting will appear to all. Everyone will see it. Everyone will know it. You won't have to tell everyone. And in closing, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Consider. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'd just like to make a point on the false doctrine that we are around today that says, once you're saved, you're always saved. And we just had a little admonition there out of 1 Thessalonians that Brother David Rubio has been going through with us. Was that in chapter 3? He says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, because this tribulation came to pass, when I could no longer forbear," here it is, "I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." And here he says, in doing this, in meditating upon these things that we were talking about this morning and giving yourself wholly to them, you will be taking heed to yourself. And in doing this, you will save both yourself and them that hear you. By being an example to the believers, you're going to inspire someone else to be faithful. I'd just like to, on this point, look at a little bit here out of the Martyr's Mirror. There was no question in their minds on this point, because they were under great tribulation and they saw brethren many times fall back because of shrinking from death and from the persecution. I don't know how you all find it, but when I am reading through here and it's noted that this person, that person, this person, they denied the Lord. They weren't faithful. It's just a pain to my heart to see that, if only they'd have just stuck it out a little bit more there. But one of the main things that I see in the Martyr's Mirror, likewise with the apostles, with the epistles, is admonitions to faithfulness. Because they understood that you don't just say a little prayer and then it's a free ride. They recognized that when you made that decision to follow Christ, you entered into a war zone. And you entered into a realm that was hostile to your faith in Christ, and that the enemy would do everything he could to destroy that faith in Christ. So lest we sit back and just enjoy our Christian life, here's a man that was apprehended on the 30th of May in 1570. And put to death on the 13th of September of the same year. And during that time, he had a little time there, June, July, August, 3.5 months he spent there in prison. And he wrote some letters from prison there. He says in writing this one letter, "We prisoners, for the testimony of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, inform you that it is still tolerably well with us according to the flesh. But as regards the spirit, we would that it were better. For we are compassed about with such a vile, evil flesh, which always lusts against the will of God." Can you relate to that? "And shrinks much from suffering. However, we must suffer and fight if we are to overcome. For dear brethren and sisters, the crown lies not at the beginning nor in the middle, but at the end. There the conflict lies. Then the gold is tried by the fire of affliction, which no one knows better than those who have been tried therein." It is indeed true what the apostle says. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And then he goes on through to many other words of admonition. I guess I should have had it marked a little better here. I thought I knew where I wanted to be. Somewhere else here he talks about four different brethren that turned back. And they gave in under pressure and under persecution there. And they were set at liberty. And it was such a burden to this man. But I'll read another admonition he wrote here. O dear brother, whom I love from the depth of my heart, cease not, because of my tribulation which is great, to serve the Lord. For we have the truth, as the Holy Ghost bears me witness in my conscience. But great care has to be exercised, for Satan brings forth everything that can be imagined, and he makes it so great and grievous that I often pray and call upon the Lord with tears to help and deliver me. I also call to remembrance the days of my illumination. That was when he started. How little I was then in my own eyes, and that neither flesh nor blood nor anyone under heaven advised me to do this, but great terror and fear of eternal death and of the cruel fire of hell, which, as I read, should come upon all the world. For I found myself then like others in all manner of worldly lusts, yea, altogether earthly and carnally minded, upon whom the wrath of God comes. Also that there was no other means than this by which to be saved. Hence I entirely committed myself to the Lord, and have also with much sighing and mourning traveled through the wilderness of this world, compassed about with an evil flesh, which has never yet advised me to do anything good. Yea, if I had not fled for refuge to the word of the Lord, I would have been utterly overthrown in the wilderness of this world, for flesh and blood greatly desired to be one with the world, since they always shrank from suffering. But when I with David went into the sanctuary of God, and there beheld the recompense of the world, and how soon they are cut off, and that they were blots and not children, and also remembered that it is written, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Yea, cursed be their going out and coming in. However fine a captain one may choose to prosper in the world, flesh and blood are nevertheless the ultimate object herein. For experience has taught me this, nor am I surprised at it, since men are now of no other material than were the children of Israel. How often did the Lord sigh over them, and what great trouble did he have with them? Hence, we may daily take good heed and be up and doing, that no one take our crown. He was giving himself wholly to meditating upon the word of God here. Therefore, my dear brethren and sisters, be not troubled that these, he just gives some letters here, doesn't give the full names. I've come to these four names. That these four men have gone back to Egypt, which does not surprise me, but let it be an example unto you that they were overthrown in the wilderness of this world. And do you take better courage, as I trust you will, and constantly keep before your eyes the pious that were before us. For he that flees out of the conflict does not get the crown. For there is but one victory comprised in the scriptures by which we are to be crowned. 1 Corinthians 9:25, 2 Timothy 2:5, and Revelations 2:10. Oh, dear brethren and sisters, we now look through quite different eyes as to what salvation depends on than when we were out of bonds. for out of bonds, I never could pray to God as I now sometimes do. And I think I'll let it there. And then he wrote a letter to his mother. He says, therefore, my dear mother, this was actually his mother-in-law, it is necessary that we constantly, according to our weak ability, seek to follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. For John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And I'll stop there. My time is up. But here was an example of a man who did give himself wholly to being an example. And lest the brethren should be discouraged by those who turned back, it seems he wrote that one letter specifically with that in mind, that it would not shake their faith, but that they would be strong in the Lord, and that they not let that catch them unawares, that these men have turned their back on the Lord. And don't look to them for an example, but rather keep going. The prize is out ahead. It's not now. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dean. I had to stop and meditate on that verse that was quoted there toward the end. Whoso abideth not in the doctrine of God hath, doctrine of Christ hath not God, right? First John, I believe that is held there, or written there. And that's very, what is that? The doctrine of Christ. Seems like it has to do with his life, has to do with his teaching, has to do with his whole person and how he lived and walked here among us.
Doctrine means teaching.
Yeah, the teaching of Christ. Yeah, right. The things he taught concerning us. It would probably be his teaching more than his actual how he lived. Referring not taking away from his teaching, but from the actual lifestyle. That's been very inspirational again this morning there to be an example to the believers, to lift up the standard of God there for all of us, for our youth especially, to put that goal and that desire out ahead of you and aim for it and press toward it and exercise yourself in these things. Very, very good and valuable admonition for us today. May God grant us the ability to walk in those things that we have been taught there this morning. Also appreciated the practical thoughts there that are shared with us on association with that which we associate ourselves with. May that be a warning to us in many areas of life. Music is a big thing, but also not all inclusive. There are many areas of life that those things influence us and move us in our day. Yeah, I think of the what you mentioned concerning the whole motorcycle thing. I think it was just a little article in the local newspaper that we have lost 12 men and women in motorcycle deaths so far this year. We're only 6.5 months into the year, and 12 people have lost their lives. Not all at the fault of how they drove and But nevertheless, the dangers are so great, and that has been proved to us so vividly here in Lancaster County this year, and many other years likewise. But may we take heed to those things and the spirit of that, the black jacket clothing and the riding for pleasure and for show, and extreme waste of money in the expense. Most of these people likewise have a car, but only drive a cycle for the pleasure of it, not for economy or for necessity. So may we be free of that television spirit, that Hollywood spirit of that crowd. All right, I'd like to open it up for additions here by any other thoughts that brothers would have. Raise your hand, we'll get a microphone to you, and if you have anything to share, sisters likewise. Brother Jeff here.
Yes, I was very blessed to be encouraged in the Word of God today. I appreciated some thoughts Dean had there, especially when he was talking about our reading and our attitude toward knowledge, how it puffs up in some of these things. And just recently I had a brother from Canada call me, and he's feeling his inadequacy in the knowledge of the things of God and education, and he's wanting to dig in deeper and get some Bible college or something. And he wanted to know what I thought and what was his advice. And I warned him about the horrible destruction of many men of God through the Bible college system. How they'll shipwreck you and destroy your Bible so often, you know. And I said, the key you need is right here. And this is the verse I read him. And I think it goes well with what Dean said here in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John are being so bold. And they said in verse 12 of chapter 4, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So I think our antidote to all of our inadequacies is in that verse. If we would spend time with Jesus Christ, if we would know the real Jesus Christ and feast on His Word and be filled with His wisdom and His knowledge and lift up our voice for that kind of understanding, I don't think we'd lack one thing.
Amen. Amen. Someone else? Okay, up here, Brother David.
Yeah, I'd like to just stand and make a confession to the church this morning of a failure in the area of being an example in word. I was being convicted this morning about a failure yesterday in my speech, and there were a number of people over at Jonah Dodd's sale there, and we were talking about coffee, and I likened it to some drug terminology that I had grown up with in my family. And just this morning, as I was before the Lord, He was challenging me to ask the profitability of my speech yesterday, and whether or not I my speech led men to a holy life and an air of eternity and Christ-centered life. And this morning, when Dean was speaking about being an example in word, I feel I failed to be an example in word, and ask you to cover my sin and put that away, if you would, please.
Amen. Bless you, Brother David. Anyone else? Something to share? All right, well, thank you very much. Once again, we appreciate all the visitors that are with us this morning, and we appreciate your presence very much.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.